Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Glory Glory Man United podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle Quinn. And joining me today is Orest from Orest Talks Football. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, a bit off the invitation. Lots of things to dive into. But yeah, I'll be doing good, mate. I'll be doing good.
Yeah, an absolute shambles from Manchester United tonight. That was entirely predictable. Losing 4-0 at Selhurst Park. Crystal Palace doing the double over United this season. We all remember when we got mauled at Vicarage Road when we lost 4-1 to Watford, and we knew that was the last game for Solskjaer. It kind of has that feeling tonight for Ten Hag, doesn't it, Orest?
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. That's what reminds me of. But it's so similar the way we played in both matches compared to Watford in this match, just so similar. But yeah, obviously Ollie got sacked straight off it, but I don't know if Ten Hag will. But listen, that's up to the board. But yeah, the same complete garbage really if you compare those two matches. But yeah,
I have to say that I want Ten Hag to be dismissed as soon as possible, because I do not want him taking charge of the FA Cup final, because I think we could lose 5 or 6-0 to Man City if Ten Hag takes charge of that game. He is completely out of ideas. The players are not playing for him. There's players out there who are just too old, who are past it, like Casemiro, Eriksen, Evans, and there's just other players are just going through the motions. The back four is a shambles. It has to be one of the worst back fours in the Premier League, if not the worst. We've now conceded 81 goals this season. There's absolutely no patterns of play whatsoever. I don't know what they're trying to do. The only possible way they're going to score tonight was from a set piece. They had the ball in the back of the net a couple of times and it was chalked off for supposed foul on the goalkeeper and an offside. But Casemiro in particular, it's farcical just how bad he is. The drop-off from last season is enormous. He just looks like a pensioner out there, doesn't he? And so does Eriksen and Evans, to be honest. What did you make of their performances tonight, Orest?
Yeah, Casemiro wasn't at his best tonight. I think he got dribbled past 7 times or 8 times. So, yeah, rubbish from him. Eriksen, listen, I think half these players, well, not even half, but Most of these players need to be departed this summer. But Eriksen, not good enough. Evans, I mean, nobody wanted this guy. Not even the other four leagues in the English league. But yeah, somehow United just managed to grab him up. And yeah, rubbish back four. I think probably the worst back four I've ever seen this season. But yeah, in terms of I think the only bright player probably could be made, and that's it. That is only it for me. But the rest of them, that was just complete shambles tonight. Casemiro again, getting two of his goals was him going to the ground easily. And yeah, I think it's time for him to go this summer. I really do. And it's about replacing Casemiro with the right midfielder as well. So yeah, he wasn't at it today. He's just completely dribbled past easily.
Yeah, I have to say, this stuffing has been coming for a while. I think in recent weeks we've been getting away with it. But I felt as if we're going to be on the receiving end of a drubbing at some point, and it's tonight is when it has happened. United have been slowly getting worse. I think that's only 2 wins in the last 10 matches now, which really is just relegation form. I think our goal difference is now back to -3. What have we lost 18 matches this season in all comps? It's absolutely abysmal.
13 league games as well. We lost 13. I think that's the first time since 1976, apparently. So, yeah, breaking records left, right, and centre for Erik ten Hag. So, not good.
I've heard this excuse so many times that there's not many managers out there. So Ten Hag should keep his job because we haven't got an adequate replacement. That is a pretty weak reason to keep a manager. If that's the only reason for keeping him, then he has to go. in my opinion. Where do you stand on Ten Hag, Horst?
Yeah, for me, I've already said he needs to go. See, a few months ago, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna see how he goes. I'm gonna trust him a bit. But now, listen, I've lost faith. I think it was the Chelsea game where I completely lost it with him. So for me, people are saying that there's no good enough replacement. There's Zerbi who, for me, I want a coach who will coach this team, like training and in during matches. And for me, I think the Zerbi from Brighton, I think he's up there. He really is. So for me, I think this statement of, oh, there's no one else to get to replace Ten Hag, I think that's just rubbish. Because if people are saying that, then they're basically want Ten Hag out, but they have a little excuse to find a replacement. So for me, I'm done with Ten Hag, and I'm done with these half of these players as well, because they need to go this summer. But let's see what Ineos do, because they've got a big task now. Obviously, whether they decide to wait until after the FA Cup final, I don't think that's right. I think that's probably the worst thing to do, just to wait after the FA Cup final, because if he wins it, we'll surely get sacked, because that's how we treat Luis Van Gaal. So I just don't know what they're going to do. But for me, I'd get a coach. I'd get a manager who will actually coach this team.
Yeah, I agree. So Kieran McKenna has achieved back-to-back promotions with Ipswich, who of course was a coach at United under Mourinho and Ole. Some people have touted him for the United job, and understandably, some fans have said it's too soon. He needs to step it up a level, like go to a Spurs or a Villa before he can go to United. What would you think of hiring him as manager this summer to take over at United? Do you think that would be a good idea?
For me, I do think it's a bit early for McKenna. I definitely would like to see how he does in the Premier League next season with Ipswich. But he's a good candidate though, because I remember a lot of United fans when he did go to Ipswich, they were laughing at Ipswich saying, "Oh, they got a rubbish manager. They're gonna do bad." So now he's turned around for Ipswich, but for him to be United manager, I think it is a bit early. But one thing is that I do want to see how he does in the Premier League. If he does well, just why not give it a try to United? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, Xavi Alonso had only coached Real Madrid's reserves and Bayer Leverkusen gave him a chance. Arteta had only ever been an assistant to Guardiola and Arsenal gave him a chance. And both those appointments have worked out really well. So you need to be brave as a club and take a gamble on someone. It doesn't always have to be someone with experience of winning trophies. You know, you take a gamble on an up-and-coming coach and it might work out really well. So I certainly wouldn't be against that choice, but I probably don't see United going down that road. Not yet, anyway. One of the most humiliating things about tonight was not just the scoreline, but it was the fact that Michael Olise and Eze were showboating at times as well, just taking the piss out of United. They just thought it was easy. I suppose the only consolation from tonight is that Michael Olise is strongly linked with a move to United in the summer, and he got the chance to showcase his talents in front of United's hierarchy. So I would absolutely have him top of my list in that position if we're going to sign a right winger in the summer. He was amazing tonight, wasn't he?
He was. And for me, listen, this is the player that I want to be our first signing. I seen that he's got 60 million release clause. For me, we should be the first club to activate that. There's no excuse for this club not to be fast with this deal. And obviously there are strong links recently. There's been strong links with us to Elise, so I do hope we get him. Very, very big potential there. For me, if we get him, he'll probably be our best forward with obviously other players, but for me, we get him and we'll promise him, but I just hope we don't ruin him. That's the problem. So 60 million release goals for me, that's, if you look at what we've said, I think that's a bargain, you know, for Man United.
Yeah.
Should not be no excuses for us.
How on earth are we going to get Anthony off the books, though?
Oh, well. yeah. I mean, listen, I'm at Diola. I don't know what he has to do for him to start him, but for me, yeah. I mean, Anthony today was absolutely horrible. Horrible, but thing is, Ten Hag will still play him against Arsenal, and yeah. I don't know what he has to do, but for him to throw him when he was 4-0 down, that was embarrassing, but yeah. Anthony, I don't know. The thing is that we need to have a massive clear out this summer. And for me, whoever it is, whoever the manager is, if it's Ten Hag or someone else, they just have to be ruthless for me. So we'll see. But Anthony, I don't know how, what we're going to do with him, whether we give him a chance next season. But he's just, he's not good.
Yeah, I agree with you. Amad Diallo's been very poorly treated by the manager. Even after scoring that sensational winner against Liverpool in the FA Cup quarterfinal, he still only made a couple of cameo appearances since then. He's still not started a match, as far as I can remember, which is a joke considering Anthony has got a number of starts now. And Anthony, for the most part, has been terrible. He's obviously loyal to his most expensive signing, the player that he had at Ajax, and you know, he doesn't want to give up on him because it reflects badly on him if Anthony doesn't work out as a signing. But I don't think it's going to work out for either Ten Hag or Anthony, to be honest. Yeah, and then he brings Amrabat on as well to add insult to injury tonight. And to me, that was just Damien's limitation. He was trying to keep the score down by bringing him on. And he was lucky not to get a red card. He went through the back of somebody, caught somebody with the studs on the calf.
Yeah.
That was a terrible challenge. He is such a mediocre player, and there's no business being at Manchester United, in my opinion. Another dreadful signing from Ten Hag. Another player I want to comment on who was very, very poor tonight was Diogo Dalot. A player who has a lot of fans in the United fan base. They've been talking him up a lot this season, but I have never been convinced, and his defending in recent weeks has been abysmal. And tonight, again, I think it was for the third goal. He was really, really bad. And I think it was the second goal. He was down that right-hand side, and he wasn't even in the picture. I seen him in the first half in the centre-forward position. He's everywhere except where he should be. And as a defender, he's absolutely shocking. What's your views on Dalot, Orest?
I think, for me, listen, Dalot, defensively, he's not the best. But when I look at him attacking wise, I think he's decent when he's in the attacking line. But defending, when it's one on one situations or where he has to mark someone, he's just so poor at this. And today, yeah, he was poor, very, very poor. Because I do like Dunlop overall as a player, because overall, this season, I think he's probably been our best in terms of defender wise, in terms of right back. Because Wan-Bissaka, for me, I'm not even going to get into him because I thought today he was lazy as well, Wan-Bissaka. But that lot for me, I thought he could have done better. I know he's playing against, Eze, but still, there's no excuse not to perform. But today, I drop into field, going to strike, back. Just thinks your bloody position. But
he's everywhere except where he should be, as I said. And even if you make the argument that he's improved this season, there's been a massive drop off since he gave that penalty away against Chelsea. I don't think he's played well at all since then, and has been getting progressively worse. And tonight he was particularly bad. The only thing I'll say about Wan-Bissaka is that he's playing on the wrong side of the pitch. He's getting the short straw there, playing at left back. I hate right-footed players at left-back. That really winds me up. At this stage, I would have just thrown in Harry Amas in that position, just give him a go, because we're not playing for anything anymore. It's impossible to qualify for the Champions League. So I would have just tried Harry Amas at left-back and just give him a go tonight. And it would have brought more balance to the team. You need to have a left-footed player in that position. We've only fairly had that all season. I don't think we have a chance in the cup final, to be honest, but to give us a slight glimmer of hope, we need to have Shaw starting at left back and Martinez at centre half. the centre halves are just dropping like flies. Maguire's got injured now in training, and Johnny Evans has come in tonight, and he was absolutely skint for the first goal. Johnny Evans, he reads the game really well, and he's put in good performances in maybe 7 out of the 10 games that he's played. But at times he's really got done for pace, and tonight he was beaten so easily. There's been the odd game where he looks his age, and tonight was one of those, I'm afraid. And he should probably retire. He should probably retire from football in the summer. It's really hard to play against 21-year-olds on the opposite team when you're 36. You know, they make you look your age when they're that good. Palace's forward line were magnificent tonight, and so was that midfielder they got from Blackburn
Adam Wharton.
Adam Wharton, yeah. Some Palace fans have been saying that he's better than Manu. I wouldn't quite go that far, but you know, fans tend to be quite loyal to their own players. Palace, I think that's 4 wins in a row now for them. As I say, it was entirely predictable what was coming tonight. Anyone who put money on Palace would have been wise to do so, because it was obvious that they were going to win this game. And it really could have been more as well. It was 4-0, but I think they hit hit the woodwork there. Yeah. I think there was a deflected shot that could have went in. I think a few chances were missed as well. And yeah, it was a total and absolute embarrassment from start to finish. Even when the first goal went in, I was thinking this is going to be a drubbing, because they've dominated from the start of the game. United are not in this game. Only Garnacho was a threat at the start of the match. He was running. The good thing about Garnacho is he never stops running at defenders. But he just couldn't get in the game in the second half at all. There was nobody, hardly anyone else playing well. And you mentioned Manu there. He done well in parts, but he wasn't very good for the first goal. The first goal, Manu was obviously partly to blame, but what about the attempted challenge from Casemiro on Michael Olise? I think he dived in the wrong way. He seemed to be going, he tried to make a diving challenge, and he dived in the opposite direction to what Olise was going. He was just totally humiliated there, and Eriksen couldn't get anywhere near him as well. It was just an absolute joke, to be honest. Yeah, there's players there who are just not good enough to play for United, and others who are just so far off the pace, it's not even funny. It really is so depressing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And our full customer, I don't know why, he's probably diving on the floor, but stop going to the floor, man. Just stay up. But yeah, I think these players have mentally checked out, really. If they're really focused on the FA Cup final, then that tells us, because I don't see no chance of us winning that final. But for me, listen, there's still, 3 games left. Just for me, I'll tell them, try go on a little run, and then hopefully give them a little boost for the final. But that doesn't work here at Manchester United. So yeah, but Eriksen looked off it. I think Adam Wharton bust him. I thought Will Hughes, fair play to him, you know, like, wow. Him and Wharton, they were just bossing midfield, you know, like showboating, like Olise, Hughes, Wharton, they're all doing these showboating. So yeah, bad day in the office. But listen, if these United players really want to get themselves motivated for that final, then these next 3 games, they need to go on a little run. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, we made Will Hughes look like Claude Makélélé tonight. It was an absolute joke. As Bruce here says, other shambles, coming of age performance by Casemiro, the age of Saudi. Yeah, that's been coming for months now. And I think Casemiro and Varane will both be going to Saudi in the summer. And there has to be a massive clear out. There's no point in getting rid of another manager and keeping the same squad again. 90% of these players have to go. Of course, that's not going to happen in one window. I agree with the briefing from the club that only Hoyland, Garnacho and Manu are not for sale, and everybody else has their price. Now, I would probably like to keep Bruno Fernandes and probably Maguire, considering there's going to be a whole lot of centre halves leaving, and he's been in decent form. But other than that, I would be quite happy to sell anyone else, and including Marcus Rashford. What's your views on that, Orest?
Yeah, I agree. Marcus Rashford's on that list. Hopefully, you know, PSG. I think there's something going on with PSG and Rashford, because I definitely thought that last summer PSG had something, but obviously Rashford went into good form. But this summer, I agree with the club brief saying that was on Højlund, Martinez, mainly, and everyone's up for sale. So, yeah, totally agree with that. I have no issues with Maguire. The thing is, I'm 50-50 with Maguire, because it depends how many centre-backs this club brings. Because for me, I'd like to see two or three, but not in this club. We'll probably only get one. But for me, I want to see more than one centre-back. For me, I think Evans, we need to let him go. Rashford, thing is, if Ten Hag's still here, he would probably still keep him, man. Because Ten Hag still thinks he's the best player in the world, and probably still has one last belief in him, which I actually think is outrageous, because he does his little interviews, but he just doesn't do the talking on the pitch. So yeah, hopefully we can get rid of Rashford. Bruno, I'm 50-50 Bruno. I would like to see him stay, but I think Ten Hag has already confirmed that he's staying for another 2 years. I think he's got his contract. So, apart from that, yeah, everyone is up for sale for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you need at least four centre backs, because centre halves have a tendency to get injured. I think Varane will go, Evans will retire, and Lindelof will probably go as well. He's into the last year of his contract, and I think United will try and get money for him. And then that leaves you with just Maguire and Kimbuala. And I don't see us signing any more than two centre halves this summer, two at the most, I think. And you need to, as I say, you need to have four. So I can see Maguire staying for the remainder of his contract there, which is just 1 year. I wanted to come to a tweet here from Jamie, who's been on the show before. He says, "Perfect opportunity for Ineos to sack him tonight. I think they come out of this looking good. It's a chance to start this new era of fresh, ahead of a big summer. A chance for a new manager bounce for the FA Cup final, and our Ten Hag can join Bayern Munich. And of course, Bayern Munich have had a lot of trouble with getting a new manager. So many names have turned them down. Around, unbelievable that Lopetegui turned down Bayern to go to West Ham. Ralf Rangnick turned him down. Of course, Julian Nagelsmann, Alonso, and now they're looking at Ten Hag. This would be a perfect opportunity to just let him go to Bayern Munich. Because as I said, I don't want him taking charge of the FA Cup final. I can see a scenario where you lose 5 or 6 in that final to Man City. But if we have a new manager, you might get a new manager bounce in the final and give us a chance of maybe sneaking a win there. So that's what I would do. I would take the as Jimmy says, I would take the opportunity now to move him on and let him go to Bayern Munich, even though he's not going to be able to take over right away, because you know Tuchel will be in charge to the end of the season. But yeah, I would sack him now, or do a deal with Bayern Munich where they can. That would really suit United, you know. Now to sack Ten Hag and his coaches apparently would cost United £20 million. If he left by mutual consent and went straight to Bayern Munich, he would save United £20 million. So that would be the perfect scenario for Ineos if they do want to get rid of Ten Hag, if Bayern Munich simply just take him off our hands. Can you see him going there then?
Yeah, with Bayern Munich, obviously, there's been obviously lots of news coming out, especially sources that are close to Ten Hag's camp. So I think we had Sky Sports mentioned this morning. So, yeah, obviously, he's definitely interested in the move. Obviously, he was there for, he was really worked there, I think, for the B team. So, listen, if Bayern comes in calling for him this summer, then I don't see why not he doesn't go there. But then again, I think this club will probably find a way to do a swap deal of Ten Hag on then and we get Tuchel, which I'm not 100% positive about Tuchel, but yeah, listen, all Bayern have to do is call him up and say, where do you want to come? You'd probably say, yeah. But obviously it depends on how Ten Hag leaves, if he leaves on mutual consent or I don't know, but yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure myself if Tuchel is the right fit for Manchester United. For one, I don't think he plays the style of football that United fans would demand. He's quite pragmatic as a coach. Get Mourinho vibes sometimes from Tuchel, both in terms of his football and his personality. He's a tendency to fall out with people, fall out with the hierarchy. I have no problem with a manager being demanding of his hierarchy, but Tuchel now has been in charge of four major clubs in Europe and I think he's been sacked about three times. So I'd be weary of, and he doesn't stick around too long, so it wouldn't be my ideal appointment. I would rather take a risk on someone like McKenna, or even someone else I've been talking about for a long time is Simone Inzaghi at Inter Milan, who's has won the trophies in Italy, and maybe it's time for him to make a step up to the Premier League. What do you think about that potential appointment, Orest?
Yeah, I'll definitely be interested in him. But I think obviously Inter won the Serie A now, so I think they'll demand a huge fee for Inzaghi. But that's one manager I definitely would be interested in. I would never say no to that. But yeah, Inzaghi, McKenna, they are good candidates up there. But Inzaghi, I think is a bit no, because obviously you probably want to stay at Inter now for next season. McKenna obviously will probably focus on his Ipswich job for next season in the Premier League. So both good names, and I wouldn't say no to both. To one of them. So yeah,
they're both excellent coaches. And United are going to have a proper sporting structure in place this summer. Obviously, Wilcox is already there as a technical director. Omar Barada will start as CEO on the 13th of July. And Dan Ashworth, I think, is moving a step closer because Newcastle are going to bring in Dougie Freeman as their director of football. So you like to think that they will then release Ashworth for a reasonable fee and not the 20 million that they're demanding. If they don't release him soon, then Ashworth is going to take them to the Court of Arbitration for Sport to get out of his contract there, because it's been dragging on for too long. We need to have our director of football in place for this window, and if we don't get it sorted soon, then we won't. And Will Cox would probably have to take charge of that for the time being. So I am positive about United getting it right in the long term, but in the short term, it's been so bad, and it's horrible to watch as a fan. You know, every other club in England and in Europe are just laughing at us. We're just a complete laughing stock. But we've been here before in the last decade, but the only difference is this time we know there are changes happening above the manager, the right changes, the right people coming into the club in the right roles, and not accountants and bankers making decisions. Totally different now. So that does give me positivity going forward. Is that how you feel, Orest?
Yeah, I know 100%, because obviously they're just bringing the football structure at the top, where I've always said it's important for a manager to succeed in a football club. So for me, I just hope we wrap up the Dan Ashworth deal quickly. But if not, then I think Jason Wilcox and my brother will both probably be operating without that Ashworth for December. But yeah, look, in terms of the long future, I'm definitely excited. But I think what you said about short term is absolutely spot on, because short term, all United fans are saying, right, what's the plan with the manager? Because I don't think thing is, Ratcliffe, he's actually been asked about Ten Hag in interviews. I think that he's been saying about patience and time and stuff. So for me, we need answers. In terms of the short plan, in terms of the manager, that medical department needs to sack him, by the way. That, I think the guy that we brought from Arsenal, Gary Disco, he needs to go. Because for me, he's probably been part of the issue as to why we got so many injuries. So hopefully that these men at the top in Ineos decide to sack these medical staff, because honestly, If they don't, then I think that's embarrassing. But for me, yeah, long term, I'm definitely excited about.
Yeah, we've had so many injuries. It can't just be put down to bad luck. There has to be, it must be a mixture of really, really intense training and very poor medical decisions, not recognizing when players are in the red zone and about to pick up a muscular injury, because it just can't be bad luck. It has to be incompetence as well, because there's just been so many injuries. I mean, and what highlights that the most is Bruno Fernandes missed a game through injury for the first time in his career tonight. Though that is really saying something. Maguire obviously picked up an injury in training as well, and that's, was it 63 separate cases this season of players missing a game through injury or illness at Manchester United. Anything we can do wrong, we do wrong. It's just an absolute farce, to be honest with you. Simon Davis here says United are focusing on the cup final, but here's the thing: even if they were, you have to have some kind of form or momentum going into a final. You can't just get beat in your previous 10 games and expect to turn up and win a cup final against the best team in the country. It ain't going to happen, is it?
Exactly, you're right. And like I said before, we need, if we want to have a chance to win this final, then we need to have momentum. But these players, they don't think that. But Simon, I know he says that, you know, focusing, but at least think about the now and not think about the later, which is the final. Think about these next three games as they're important. Like, we there's no guarantee of us winning that final. So it's either us trying to get as high as possible on the table, getting whether it's Europa League or what. Because obviously FA Cup, you win that, it guarantees Europa League. But for me, there's nothing guaranteed of us winning that final. So yeah, these players, they don't think that otherwise. They think the opposite. They think, you know what, we're just going to focus on the final, not perform our best in the next three games, and suddenly expect them to turn up for the final, which is, it's not right for me.
So I'm going to do a rundown of the player ratings, and really just doing it for fun at this point, because it's just going to be embarrassing. So Onana, conceded 4 goals, obviously, and did make a couple of decent saves. Don't think it was his fault tonight. I would say a 5 for Onana. Dalo, really, really poor, especially for the third goal and second goal as well, actually. It would be a 2 out of 10 for Dalo. Casemiro would have to be a 0 out of 10. He was that bad. Johnny Evans, really poor. It'd be a 2. Wan-Bissaka, the only thing I'll say is he's playing out of position. Really, Dalo and Wan-Bissaka should be playing on the opposite side of the pitch. But the manager insists on this. Wan-Bissaka would be a 2. Kobbie Mainoo, as you said, was one of 2 decent performers for United on the night. He showed glimpses. Mainoo would be a 5. Eriksen. It just looks like a player who no longer has the legs to play at this level anymore. And even in the last cup final against Man City, that was apparent. He had to be substituted at Wembley for Garnacho after 60 minutes in last year's final. And it was a really boiling hot day in London, if you remember, last May in the cup final. And Eriksen just couldn't cope with it. You know, that pitch is pretty wide as well, and he was well off it. And things have not improved, obviously. So it would be a 4 out of 10 for Eriksen. Mason Mount, I was really hoping after waiting so long for a start. It's been, about 7 months since he last started a game in the Premier League. He looked decent in cameo appearances recently. Scored against Brentford, obviously, and didn't really work out for him tonight. But what can you do when the rest of the team are so bad and they're just so disjointed? They don't look like they've been doing anything worthwhile on the training ground all week. It's really hard to come into a losing team and pick that team up. Didn't work out for Mount tonight, so it'd be a 4 out of 10. Anthony, absolutely abysmal, as you say. Another one of his stinkers. Be a 2 for Anthony. He was the first person to be substituted. He was taken off for Amrabat, as I say, because he wanted to keep the score down. And Hoyland had the ball in the back of the net at one point, but ruled out for fired on the goalkeeper. You know, the keepers always get protection. But once again, you know, total lack of service. He tries and he tries, but this team isn't set up to get the best out of him, unfortunately. So a 4 out of 10 for Hojlund. Amrabat came on. He was abysmal. Should have been sent off. 1 out of 10 for him. And Wheatley and Ahmad came on with only 10 minutes of normal time to go, so can't really give them a rating. And Ten Hag would get a 0 out of 10 as well for tonight. One of the most embarrassing performances of his reign. And it looks like it could be an end of days moment for him, like we said earlier. So up next is the small matter of Arsenal at Old Trafford, title-chasing Arsenal. How bad could that get, Urs?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've already said to a couple of the guys, if Arsenal do not score more than 4 goals, then they don't deserve this league, by the way. So it could get worse. It could get... I mean, look, I know we beat them 8-2 before, but it could be the opposite way now. So, oh, my God, listen. listen, I think I'm expecting Arsenal to win this game a lot. I'm convinced. If they're serious, if Arsenal are serious for this title, then they need to be battering us, but it'll be a typical United to turn up and beat Arsenal. But there's no confidence for me for us to beat Arsenal. I just don't see it. I really don't. It could get very bad in terms of fans probably getting angry, frustration, booing. But yeah, I just don't see a chance against Arsenal. I really don't.
Yeah, we've got results against Liverpool this season, which were totally unexpected. But Liverpool have proved in recent weeks that they're not all that. Against City, we were comprehensively beaten in both games. And Arsenal are up there with Man City. They're on that kind of level. They're probably going to lose the title by just 2 points. And Arsenal do have the capability of smashing us. Arsenal... You know, they have a better goal difference than City. They've scored more goals. They have a better head-to-head than City. And in the 2 games they played against City, they've got 4 points. So they're well capable of dominating this game and scoring lots of goals. If they score early, the floodgates could really open. And just imagine how toxic it could get inside the ground if Arsenal score 2, 3, 4 goals. It's going to be, if Ten Hag's in charge of that game, it could be bad. The crowd haven't really turned on Ten Hag so far, but they could on Sunday if the scoreline is really bad. And the players are going to be could get a horrible reception from the crowd as well, and it's hard to feel sympathy for them. The crowd they're paying, you know those who are not season ticket holders are paying 50 quid. To go to these games, and they're getting absolutely nothing in return, sometimes not even effort. So they've every right to boo, and that could happen on Sunday. Like you did mention that, you know, at the beginning of last season, we beat Arsenal at Old Trafford, Anthony's debut, I think it was, and he scored on his debut. But United are a long way off that team at the moment. United are mid-table fodder right now, and if they can lose 4-0 to Palace, they could easily lose 4-0 at home to Arsenal. Yes, United have shown up in games against the bigger teams this season, especially Liverpool, but as I said, against City we got nowhere, and Arsenal could really embarrass us, because they're pretty close to City in terms of how good they are. So yeah, it could get really, really bad and really toxic as well. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. But yeah, you said there earlier that the players have mentally checked out. I have mentally checked out as well. I'm just waiting for August now at this point. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, and I'm waiting for the new season. I really am. I'm really nervous and I've mentally checked out. But yeah, August, let's see. Start again, but listen, I just want to see a restart with this squad, man. The thing is, we see this every summer, but nothing happens. But for me, this summer, I just want to see something. But yeah, most likely, we'll probably only send out a few players. But for me, month, August and August. Let's see what happens new season.
Yeah, let's hope United can start building towards something next season. I'm not expecting a title challenge next season. I'd be happy with finishing fourth, to be honest. It's going to be a long road back to the top, but it can be done within 3 years with the right manager and the right recruitment. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get there, and I'm excited to see who the new manager is going to be and who we bring in and who we get rid of. So it's going to be a massive summer for United. But Oris, as always, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
No worries, man. Thank you for the invite. No worries.
All right, I'll see you in the summer or next season.
Yeah, we'll see.
And please, everybody, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and get more of your thoughts in. And I shall see everyone again after the Arsenal game.